again, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Second Line Sports. Now, this is episode 4 of our podcast, and the first one that we've actually done in about, I think it was 6 months. So thanks, everyone, for sticking with us and tuning in again. Today, we're going to recap our picks from our last episode, which was our NFL preview special, and we'll talk about the upcoming draft that's this Thursday, and then we'll touch on a little bit of the NHL playoffs and some of the major moves that the Sabres recently made. As always, I'm Andrew, or Tanner, if you want to call me that.
The return of Tanner Case.
Oh, he's back.
We got Nick here. Hi. Mike.
How you doing?
And
we have a new special guest.
Who the hell is this guy?
Special guest, Jay.
Hey!
The intern.
Thank you for having me.
Jay the intern.
Jay the intern. Thank you for having me, guys.
You're not welcome.
Anytime, except for just this time.
He's on a trial run. Just to see how he sounds.
Probably gonna be bad, but you know, I'm glad to be on the show still.
Still?
You're not welcome.
You've been on here for like 30 seconds.
Still, as in.
We haven't kicked you off yet?
Yes.
It's a minute by minute trial, so keep it up.
Minute by minute trial.
There's a that's what she said joke to be said there, but I just let it go. You guys are welcome.
That's fine.
Tell us later.
So, yeah, as everybody knows, we did a NFL preview special back before the season, and the season has been well over by now, and the draft is coming up this Thursday. So we thought good time for us to reconvene and see how we did, see what's going to happen. So,
I guess I'll do it. all right.
You guys want to stand there staring at each other? I mean, this is a podcast.
We don't
edit
anything.
It's not a video, so.
I thought they would just see us waving.
People can't see us staring at each other. And you guys be doing googly eyes, so.
I'm going to do them anyway. So last year, for our pick to win the AFC East Division, we all had New England, and they went 14-2, so we all had that one correct.
We're pretty smart. I mean,
we're 1-0. It's all downhill from here. It's all downhill.
Not yet. I mean, it will be. It will be.
Unless you're Andrew.
The second half, like a lot of teams, the second half of our thing is going to go downhill quickly.
You know, I have a couple bad picks here and there. I may have picked Denver to miss the playoffs totally last year, and they won the Super Bowl.
They did.
So
they did. And you had San Diego winning that division.
Hey, Andrew. It didn't work this time because we picked New England, and New England won the Super Bowl. So
I see that.
If there's a formula you have to help determine what team wins based on who you pick.
I'll write it down now. I'm picking New England to miss the playoffs next year.
No, because then they're going to win the Super Bowl.
And he's ahead again. Last year he gave extra picks, and he's doing it again now.
Oh, that's how you do it. Pick New England to win the Super Bowl, and then they'll miss the playoffs.
Reverse psychology. I like the way you think.
We got it.
Very
good. I mean, New England with a 14-2 record and having Tom Brady also miss 4 games is pretty incredible. And him still bouncing back and winning the Super Bowl is...
And we
figured
that in.
It's
because
they cheat.
Oh,
it's because they cheat.
Here we go.
Yeah, it's cheaters.
And like I said in last year's, he still haven't found the formula to fix it or to beat it.
No. That's because the league's in on it.
The league's fining us and suspending us.
It's a cover up.
Okay.
It's a conspiracy.
Okay, bye. So in the AFC North, we were split last year. Nick and I had the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Andrew had the Cincinnati Bengals. And two of us were right.
Yes.
Ding! Pittsburgh went 11-5 and won the division. Now, last year, Andrew said it all hinged on Andy Dalton's performance. Andy Dalton played terribly. Go ahead, Andrew, defend your pick, sir.
I can't.
Cincinnati Bengals.
I mean, Cincinnati weapons were gone after, you know, going to the last season. We have Mohamed Sanu going to Atlanta, who was mainly the receiver. I mean, of course, A.J. Green.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't help that Green was hurt for...
True.
It was, an ankle or a foot injury that he dealt with basically all season?
True. Yeah. Very true.
So.
No weapons, Andy Dalton can't do anything.
So,
I imagined that going differently in my head when I made that pick.
It was better than your San Diego pick.
I think all of Cincinnati imagined that going differently, too. So.
I mean, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers we're talking about here. I mean,
but they didn't look great
for
a while.
But if you remember...
They had suspension problems and whatnot, but, I mean, you had Bell come back on fire after his suspension. You had, I believe it was Wheaton who got suspended as well. I mean, but Roethlisberger and Brown really held that team together.
But like Andrew said, he had it going differently in his mind. But And that's true. Cincinnati in the regular season has been pretty good recently. However, not only did Andrew say that Cincinnati was going to win the division, they were going to win a playoff game also.
Oh, did he?
He did. I listened back to it before we came back because we had a lot of time to review.
Yeah.
So.
That yeah, because their coach is so great in the playoffs.
Starving Marvin, and he's still starving.
With all of his wins that he doesn't have.
He's got regular season wins. Not yeah, about so last year. But
so, hey, listen.
So did the Browns.
One of us has John to be wrong.
They got a regular season win.
That's true, they did. Okay, so that's two for Nick and I so far.
Who's keeping score, though?
Well, we...
Mike is. Yeah. That's the whole point of him saying it. Mike.
Exactly that. In the AFC South last year, we all picked Houston unanimously, and they won in a tiebreaker going 9-7.
That's a win for us.
It is. We're still unbeaten.
Tiebreaker wins.
Houston with the whole, we all know, the Brock Osweiler situation. He played god-awful for them.
Hey.
Nick said they were going to be an upgrade because of Brock Osweiler.
He played okay sometimes.
They made the playoffs because of Tom Savage. He stepped in for Brock.
They actually made the playoffs because of their defense.
Yes. One of the number one rated defenses in the league. Yeah. Yes. But Tom Savage stepped into a pressure situation with Osweiler out. And they didn't believe he was the right man for the job. And, of course, as we saw, he got ousted in Houston when he got traded to Cleveland.
I'm about done with Brock Osweiler.
Me too.
I'm about done. I tried. Nick and I, we tried.
Overhyped.
I mean, did we not try?
He got paid, though.
I think his big thing was he should have just done the smart thing and stayed in Denver. Because they had a system where he could have... I mean, the games that he played in Denver, he looked good. Because they rely on their defense, and they had enough offensive, you know, line help and receiver help and all that stuff to make him look okay. But he did what most players do, and he had one good season and cashed in.
Right, sort you can't like, blame him for betting on himself and taking the money and running.
Sort of like Mike Glennon this coming season, going from Tampa to Chicago. I mean, he cashed in.
They were going to pay anybody anything to play Jay Cutler, bum of a quarterback.
But, I mean, if you're looking at, okay, my career is going to last maybe three, maybe four more years at most, and some team wants to pay me $50 million right now, take it and run.
Taco Bell refreshing. The AFC West.
Are we allowed to say that?
This is not brought
we're
to you by Taco Bell.
We're just saying it's refreshing. We're not sponsored by them or anything like that. So
that'd be sweet.
That man. The drinks and the 45 things Andrew ordered at Taco Bell before
this. He meant Bach Hotel.
If Andrew definitely leaves a not. Bit for the podcast, that's because he ate a bunch at Taco Bell.
Like a lot of Taco Bell.
Like you kept him in business another year. AFC West, we all had the Kansas City Chiefs, and they went 11-5 and won their division. So Nick and I are still perfect.
We are.
Hail to the Chiefs.
Yeah, just
it was
wait
tough.
Till you guys get to the NFC.
You know, it was tough. What's the NFC? We're talking about Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City, it was a tough goal for them.
We picked them relatively easily, too, in the podcast last year.
Yeah, but you also have to look if Derek Carr didn't break his leg.
Dude, that was in the 15th game. He missed one game. Playoff.
But my point is, Oakland would have won the division had he not broke his leg.
Yes, they would have. Yeah, of course.
That's all I was saying.
But Kansas City, I mean, Alex Fort Smith is, you know, he fits well in that system. Their defense is still incredible, but...
I can't believe they're talking about potentially moving on from Smith right now and drafting a quarterback in the first round. Like, I get it because Smith's not the youngest guy in the world, but, like...
He'll get the job done.
He fits the scheme and the stuff that they run, so...
Correct.
I don't know. That'd be jumping the gun for me, but whatever.
Whatever. So then we move on to the AFC wild cards, and each of us had Oakland, which was right. They went 12-4, but none of us had Miami. Nick and I had Cincinnati, and Andrew had Pittsburgh, and we were all wrong on that one.
Nobody.
I mean, did anybody have Miami?
Nobody seemed
like
no.
Not just us. I mean, like in general, if anybody had to pick a wild card team, did anybody pick the Dolphins?
Nobody sees Miami coming out of the gate like that. I mean, you know, Tannehill. Everybody thinks Tannehill's garbage. I mean,
that's because he is garbage.
He is garbage, but I mean, you had Matt Moore slide in last year to play for them.
Yeah, we don't have Matt Moore.
Me too. Maybe Tannehill should go back to playing the receiver slot like he used to.
It's Julian Edelman.
Yeah, exactly.
Do I get any credit for having Pittsburgh in that spot?
No.
I mean, at least I was close.
No, Cincinnati winning the AFC North.
I'm trying to
and
get
San Diego winning the division in 2015. Here. No.
Yeah, no, sorry. Right.
We conversed with Nick off camera. And, well, not camera.
But, I mean, the Oakland situation. I mean, you see Derek Carr stepping up into an elite quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean, the 15 games he played, he had over 3,900 yards. And
I believe we need to make a correction. The future Las Vegas Raiders.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Las Vegas Raiders.
But yes. When we picked them, they were Oakland.
Yes. Yeah.
And they played.
Well, they're still going to be Oakland for like two seasons, and then they switch. Which
yeah. Their whole team.
A slap in the face to the fans, I think.
Oh, it is.
Like, hey, we're going to be around for a couple more years, and then we're out of here. But please still support
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing Oakland, and now they're talking about playing in Texas. In 2018 or 19
until
season, 2019
until
season,
it's ready.
Until it's ready. Their last Jeez. Season before the stadium's ready in Las Vegas. They're talking about playing in Texas, San Antonio.
I saw a tweet when that all happened that pretty much summed it up, and I wish I could remember who it was that actually posted it. And it said they compared it to breaking up with someone, getting a divorce from your wife, and telling her, I'm still going to live in our house for another 3 years until my new girlfriend is done building our house.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a slap in the face to the dedicated fans of yeah. of
I mean, especially because the fans stuck through them when they were like the worst team in football,
they were
and they're finally
awful for
they're
so
finally
long.
Good. And I mean they're essentially doing what Osweiler did. They had a good situation. They're like,
they
all right,
the
I'm
money.
Out of here. I'm out of here.
It's
I'm going for the money.
Don't get me wrong. It's a great market to go into to Las
for
Vegas.
Them. They're the only football team that could survive in Vegas, I think.
But it's a slap in the face. It's disrespectful to your fans, like you said.
And to be there for potentially another 3 years. If I was a season ticket holder for that team, they would be canceled already.
Well,
there's no way I would walk into that
yeah.
stadium.
But a lot of the Raiders players are saying, like, if you don't support us now, you're not a real
right.
fan.
It's the
like,
same.
You know what?
Because it's not, you're not an Oakland Raiders fan. You're a Raiders fan. You're supposed to stick behind your team. If you're a true diehard fan,
I agree with that.
You stick by your team no matter where they move. You see,
yes.
the same thing goes with the Chargers and the Rams. Yeah.
Well, the Chargers and the Rams don't have fans to begin with, so.
See, but.
And he, another dig from Nick.
I can understand why they would feel that way, because if the Bills moved from here...
Say,
when,
talk about the Bills.
I'm going to talk about the Bills. If they moved... Hold on. If they had moved to Toronto or something, there's a vast majority of this fan base that...
Are based in Canada.
That's
also,
the
vast majority
right.
are based in Canada because they don't have...
I'm not disputing that, but there is a huge chunk that would not follow them because we are fans of Buffalo more than... The Bills.
Yes.
So if we got another team, we would be fans of that team. People wouldn't follow the Bills if they moved to different cities.
Right.
They would be fans of Buffalo because that's the team that represents our city and represents us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I can understand why the Raiders fans would say, listen, they leave, it's no longer our team. Because it's not.
Right. So
it may be the same.
But the players
roster.
Didn't have to leave.
No, I understand that.
From their perspective, I understand what they're saying, too.
Oh, so do I. But I'm saying that the fans, I understand not supporting that team. Because
okay.
once they leave your city, once that city name is no longer yours on that team...
It's not a hometown
it's
team
It's not
anymore.
Your team.
Yeah.
But I think that's the same thing that happened when the Oilers were moving. That they were supposed to play another couple of years in Houston.
Oh, really?
But the attendance after the first year was so bad... That they rushed
yeah.
it and moved him to Tennessee.
But Jay, aren't you an Eagles fan?
Correct.
Yeah, so if the Eagles left Philly, how do you think those fans would react?
Philly has some diehard fans. They're just like Oakland does. I mean, just like Buffalo. They're
Buffalo
fans and they're Philly fans.
But my point is, if the Eagles left, there would be a lot of Eagles fans that...
There'd be a lot of backlash. Just
they,
like
gave up on him.
It would just
you're
like
You're talking
be...
about the fan base that booed Santa Claus.
Yes. it's
if,
just
if you
like,
want
I
to
think,
talk about some cutthroat fan bases, I think Philadelphia potentially takes the cake on that.
Yes. It's just like any team, really. You're a fan of that city and the growth of that city. You want to see that team thrive in the city that you're a fan of. And
Except for Cleveland,
correct. But you want to see that growth.
Different sport, but anyway.
And you want them to succeed.
Right.
You don't want them to fail. And, of
right.
course, if they see a different market open that potentially the owners can make more money off of and they move, the fans are going to have, there's going to be backlash from the fans because they've stuck with this team.
Right. I mean, and Oakland fans, I think, really, at the end of the day, should probably be thankful the team's not already gone, because I think if Al Davis was still around, they would have been in Vegas, I don't know, 4 years ago.
I'm surprised, I'm surprised they didn't go to Los Angeles. They didn't beat out the Chargers.
I am glad you brought that up, because that was my biggest gripe when the NFL's moved three teams in the last year.
Yes.
Three teams that they haven't moved three teams, but they've approved three teams moving. And I think they really screwed it up by putting the Raiders in Vegas and the Chargers out in L.A. Because, yeah, the Chargers, I had that right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers were in L.A. for maybe a season, I think it was, or...
Back in the day?
Like, yeah, way back.
Yeah, it was like a season or two that they started in L.A.
They're not a true, quote-unquote, true L.A. team that...
Finger quotes.
Finger quotes, yay. They should have taken the Chargers and moved them to Vegas, because there's already a huge fan base of Raiders fans still in L.A.
Yeah,
absolutely. So put the Raiders and the Rams back where they were, and put the Chargers out in Vegas. Everyone's happy, because right now there's a lot of people in L.A. that don't want the Chargers there.
I wouldn't want the Chargers there.
I mean, you want the arguably slightly better than the Rams, but the Rams are kind of on an upswing.
Well, my whole point is like
I would. Oh my lord!
Like if I was an L.A. person, I wouldn't be excited that both teams were there.
You're right.
And aren't the Rams, until the stadium's built, playing in a soccer stadium?
No, the Chargers are.
Or is the Chargers?
Rams are playing in the Coliseum.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Okay,
Robert Woods is going home.
I couldn't remember which. I couldn't remember which team was playing at like the 4,500 seat stadium that they're billing. Like, ooh, you can be up close and personal with the
that was
team.
35.
I don't know what it's
in the store.
It's
35,000.
It's 35,000.
Yeah, but that's still half of what the NFL average is. You're losing out on a lot of money.
Oh yeah,
as an owner to move into a stadium of 35,000.
All right, we gotta get back to the review here.
We gotta get back on topic. Andrew, you see what's next?
I see. Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna, since it's been going not the greatest for you historically with these, I'm gonna let you do this one.
Did you cover the second wild card picks?
Pittsburgh and Cincinnati.
Yeah, we covered.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
We talked about a bender with the Raiders.
I figured we only got
the Raiders.
All right. Well, the AFC sleeper teams.
We did a bad thing.
Nick went.
We went to sleep.
As a group, we did a bad thing. As a personal choice, I did a really bad thing.
That's why Andrew's gonna get to do it.
All right. We'll start with Mike and I. We picked Buffalo to be the sleeper team, because we all thought it had to line up at some point. And in typical Buffalo fashion,
it did 7 out of 16 times.
I mean, crumbled. but I would put that more as that was the Rex Ryan effect on this season.
Yep, there's a reason why he's not the coach now.
Yeah, and he's going to take a fourth-ranked broadcast team and drive them into the dirt. I'm not bitter or anything, but that's what he does. He takes good things and runs them into the ground, because he's going to try to put his own scheme in place when one that's currently there is working perfectly fine. I'm just saying.
Then go back to the radio.
Nope. Yeah, not bitter at all.
Nope.
So Mike and I picked the Bills, finished 7-9. Typical Buffalo season. You had wins against teams that we shouldn't have beat. We had losses against teams that we really should have beat, no problem.
Getting swept by Miami, that didn't help.
Yep. But Nick, on the other hand, he did the worst. I mean, this is probably, looking at the finishing records for a lot of teams, this is the worst choice of the entire preview from last year.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Nick picked the ping pong list Jacksonville Jaguars.
They have a lot of time to play ping pong.
It took the ping pong tables away.
No, but I'm saying like 6 weeks into their season, they could just full-time be ping pong players and they're good. Because that's how quick they were out of things. So, on paper, they have player-wise, they have potential, which is why I picked them. With Bortles and their receivers and all that stuff, their defense is coming around. They might be good in a little while, but... their pick to me is kind of like their helmets. So their helmets, could look really nice, but they were like, hey, we're going to do half one color, half the other, and then you look at them and you're like, what the hell happened?
I mean, you look at the team. I mean, Bortles, his tangibles aren't bad at all.
I think my point is they should be better than they were.
You have receivers. You have receivers in Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee.
Yeah.
I believe Julius Thomas was on that team last year as their tight end.
Yeah, I think he was hurt for a little while.
Yeah, though. I mean, you have a running back, T.J. Yeldon, who, I mean, is dual threat. He can run the ball. But, I mean, you don't have an offensive line to protect Bortles. He's going to get killed out there.
Well, that's the issue that every bad team pretty much has. When they have potential pieces around, their offensive line is usually garbage. And like I've always said, you could put Tom Brady, in this example specifically, you could put Tom Brady on Jacksonville, and maybe they win 5 games. Because they have an offensive line. If you're giving any quarterback 2 seconds to throw the ball...
How many times have you seen Brady with a second and a half to throw the ball, and he still gets the ball to the receiver?
Yeah, because that's New England. I'm saying if you put him on Jacksonville...
And the talent's there.
And I'm telling you that in Jacksonville, if he only has 2 seconds to throw the ball, he's still going to get the ball to the receiver. They're going to be a better team with a quarterback like Tom Brady.
Yeah, but...
I get your point, but...
Yeah, but their ceiling would still probably be, what, 6 wins?
I think it'd be a little bit more than that.
I think it would be more than that.
Me too.
Closer to 8-8, I think.
I don't know, because, yeah, you can give him 2 seconds and he can get the ball out.
I mean, the defense still have to stop.
But a lot of the times, he's going to get crushed. And if you're
going to play longer.
But if you're going to put a full season of, say, somebody like Brady in Jacksonville, where, yeah, he can make quick throws when he needs to, but he's also taking 6-7 sacks a game over the course of a season, that's going to kill him. So,
but Bortles doesn't know how to turtle.
No, he doesn't.
Hammered. But yeah, just go down.
But he should know how to turtle.
Do it.
Because he's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Bortles.
Ba-dum-tsh.
That's one sound effect you want to dub in after.
Yeah. Cricket sound here.
If we could have a laugh track, that would be the spot to, like...
This whole thing's a laugh track.
You know how TV shows put laugh tracks in when jokes aren't funny? That was the spot to do it.
Yeah, but we do that with dead silence.
Oh.
Really, it really lets the listeners...
It lets the joke soak in, and then when we start again, they're like,
it's like a fine wine.
It's
like a fine wine.
That was funny.
They let it sit in the glass, and it just gets better. I will say one quick note.
I'll say, let's wrap up.
I had waffled on the original podcast between Oakland and Baltimore.
We were so glad you didn't stay with Baltimore.
So glad that I picked Oakland over them. And I did say that McCoy would rush for 1,100 yards. And he topped that.
You were wrong.
All right, fine. I was wrong.
Yeah, you were wrong.
Well, you said at least.
You were off.
I said at least. I said at least 1,100.
Oh, like the least. I thought you said 1,100. If you said 1,100 specifically, you were off
by 167.
Yeah,
because he ran for 1,267 yards.
So we'll go to
My pick look pretty good.
We'll go to the NFC now, and this is where Nick and I fell off.
Things go poorly. I guess one would say.
Across the board.
Because we had at least one pick right throughout the AFC.
Yeah.
And then we got to the NFC.
I have one NFC pick that I'm proud of. That's it.
I'm not necessarily proud of anything. Well, okay.
No, it's so a good pick.
The Dallas Cowboys went 13-3 and won that division. Andrew waffled onto Dallas the same way he waffled to Oakland, and this one worked out in his favor.
It's really worked out.
You had Washington originally, didn't you? Or Philadelphia.
I think I don't remember.
Washington.
I want to say Washington.
Washington. But either way, it doesn't matter because the Giants...
But you guys, I was convinced last second to hop on the Dak train.
Because we were talking about Dallas. We were hyping them up despite the fact we picked the Giants.
Yeah, we're kind of
ever
dumb.
The opportunist.
So thank you guys.
It's hard to argue. I mean, Dallas and...
Well, I mean, realistically, I don't think anybody thought Dallas was going to do exactly what they did, starting the rookies that they were. Nobody expected them to come out like they did. They thought, yeah, maybe they could be good, which we will visit at the end of this. Credit for me. But nobody thought 13-3 was a realistic record for Dallas.
No. Dak Prescott, he played well. He came in preseason, threw the ball well. Romo went down. He stepped in very well. He played very well. Elliott, he could have potentially had a groundbreaking season, which he did, but record-breaking in non-rookie fashion.
Tony Romo was gracious enough to
just hand it off,
give up the starting role.
Dallas is set for a while with Dak and Elliott
and Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
If they keep those three together,
Dez needs to stay healthy.
No. But if they keep those three together, they have potential to be like the new generation of Aikman, Smith, and Irvin.
I mean, you have
shoes to fill, but yeah.
I'm not saying they'll fill the shoes, but I'm saying they could be like a new generation of like a big three type of football thing, yeah. Like Dallas used
to have. Dak can fill the shoes.
You have Terrence Williams also, who is
that's right.
Terrence Williams is a great second receiver. He is. He's not a star, but he'll get the job done. You have an offensive line that
best in football, probably.
Best in football, really, honestly. Witten's got three more years. They re-signed him.
He'll play till he's 50.
He's got a lot in his tank still, I think. But it's nobody saw it coming.
Nope. Well, I wrote a little bit about Dak Prescott before the season started, and we were very high on Dak Prescott, Nick and I. So, yeah.
Good job, Dakota.
Rain on him.
What was more exciting, seeing Dak play the way he did during the season or watching him during that women's basketball game?
I'm going to say the women's basketball game.
Yeah, I agree.
That was entertaining.
He was more excited then.
So, Andrew got Dallas, and we didn't get New York right, but we did rebound for the NFC North crown, where we all had the Green Bay Packers going 10-6. So that's another one that we had.
Yep.
And then we'll...
But, I mean, that's just quickly with Green Bay. That was another one that... I mean, they had to go on a miracle run to get that. So, I mean, they were probably
they
one
that was
one
almost Detroit's
away
division.
To, yeah,
that's almost
I
Detroit's
mean,
division.
It's
also
some,
Minnesota
I mean,
coming out hot at 5-0 with Bradford, and he just fell off.
And then Bradford
played like Bradford.
Bradford did.
He's still better than EJ Manuel, Andrew.
Who is the current quarterback or backup quarterback of the soon to be Las Vegas Raiders? I don't know how he got another job, but...
That's a whole different story.
So, we all got Green Bay, and then we redeemed ourselves by picking Carolina to win the NFC South. And not only did we pick Carolina to win the NFC South, we didn't even talk about Carolina winning the South. We just made it a foregone conclusion and skipped
it. Yeah, we did another bad thing.
Championship hangover.
But, I mean...
Great case.
Ron Rivera.
Yeah, championship hangover, but, I mean, nobody saw them falling apart like that.
No. So then we move on to the NFC West, and Seattle won the division at 10-5-1. Nick and Andrew had Arizona, and I had Seattle. But I think what happened there was we had wild card issues with picking the team.
I was really torn between who would make the wild card and who would win between Seattle and Arizona.
It was close
Obviously,
enough where
I did
we,
the wrong thing, but...
It was close enough where we all picked the opposites.
Right.
So...
Okay, so, but I did say Seattle's going to win double-digit wins, and I just squeaked that up with a tie. NFC wild cards, New York Giants and the Detroit Lions won the wild cards at 11-5 and 9-7, respectively. I don't think any of us had any of that right.
Nope.
I mean, we had pieces. Like, I had Seattle, you had Dallas as a wild card team. Andrew had Seattle. So teams that made the playoffs, we had as wild cards, but we just didn't pick the actual wild cards.
We don't give Andrew credit for that, though. So can we claim that credit? Because when Andrew does that, but it's not the exact same thing. It's not the division. We say he gets no credit for that.
Well, no, he doesn't. But
perfect.
But we do. Yeah.
As for NFC sleeper teams, Nick had Dallas, which I think by default he shouldn't get because they far exceeded that.
Yeah, but isn't the point of a sleeper team is someone you don't expect to be good, and then they are good?
But you didn't expect Dallas to be good?
Not that good.
That's not the point. Oh, Yves. Andrew had Philadelphia, so we're getting off the hook really quickly.
Yeah.
Not that you have to get off the hook, but 7-9. Hey, don't we have a Philadelphia Eagles fan on the podcast?
Yes, you do.
Check in really quick. Give yourself a couple seconds to explain yourself, because you started out hot. Your preseason was good.
Yes.
Good quarterback.
Should have been better.
It should have been better. Carson played well, I think, stats-wise, and you know, from what I saw, he played well with little to no weapons. You had Ryan Matthews, who, you know, leg injuries for days. It happened to him in San Diego.
Yeah, you knew that when you signed him.
You had Sproles, who's you can't put the team on his back. You don't have a number one receiver in Jordan Matthews. He's too inconsistent in dropping the ball. You have dual threat tight ends, but you can't win without
bring guys. Back Andy Reid.
Didn't they make some good signings?
Taco Tuesdays are back, boys.
They signed Alshon Jeffrey. True number one receiver.
Yeah. So I was going to say about Matthews is I feel like
he's not bad.
Could he be a number one receiver? Maybe. But Jordan, it seems like he would like he'll slide in as a great number two receiver.
Yes.
Opposite of Jeffrey.
You're going to stretch the field a lot this year.
Oh, definitely. Like. Yeah, I'll try Jeff and go off the top. So can Matthews. You just
the
use
Fox
your tight end.
The camera is going to barely be able to keep up with the ball in the air.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot better.
And then I picked Minnesota as a sleeper. They went 8-8. That's the definition of a sleeper right there, Nick. Not 13-3, you overachiever.
Who saw Stephon Diggs coming out of the gate like that?
Because they put
I like
me
Stephon
to sleep.
Diggs.
Oh, yeah. But who saw that?
Dare you.
Nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw him stepping up into that. Adam Thielen. Guy who has,
was he undrafted?
He was undrafted, not signed, and he steps in and just incredible.
I think the interesting thing, Mike and I for a while have been pretty high on Teddy Bridgewater. Obviously, he was out last year.
Please come back.
Possibly this year.
Insanely awful, knee injury. But the question is, they're starting to say. I mean, he's posted some videos that he's starting to make throws and plant on the leg that he absolutely tore apart. So they've said that they're basically going to roll with Bradford as the starter this year.
It's smart.
Which is the smart thing, but I wonder what they're going to do if Bridgewater comes back and starts to look. I don't think he's ever going to be what he was, if he starts to look
but he's so young.
Somewhat.
You slowly somewhat introduce like him back into the offense.
He's so young, though.
Right, but Bradford also looked like he could run that offense and it'll be okay. My thing is, I wonder what they do if they're both there. Like, which one do they give the reins to?
Bradford can. He's a smart quarterback, and
he will inevitably implode, giving Bridgewater a chance to step in.
Correct. He's going to fold under pressure. He's going to fold under pressure.
Bridgewater loses it because he gets hurt, he's done.
That's my point.
Yeah.
He won't be a Viking after that.
It should be when he comes back.
He won't be a Viking after that. Speaking about undrafted people, Jason, there's a reason why you're on this show originally.
Yes, sir.
Because I believe you were the draft guru that we brought in.
Yes.
And is it true, sir, that you have a draft book?
Yes. I did not bring it with me today, but
how many pages does this book have?
It's a front to back.
It's a four subject notebook.
Four
subject notebook.
But four pages are filled in.
Maybe or maybe not. The whole book is full. Maybe it's not.
You, sir, of need pages. A hobby.
Well, that seems like a good time to segue into our draft talk, then.
Right, segue.
I would cover a little bit on what we think the Browns are going to do with their first pick. There's been a lot of rumors swirling around with whether or not they should do the smart thing and take Myles Garrett, or if they should trade out of it. We'll also cover a little bit on what we think / want the Bills to do. And just whatever Jay can toss in since
whatever
now he's the
valuable insights this young
guru.
Man can offer.
Finger quotes again. Draft guru.
Aren't they air quotes?
There were finger quotes. We did the same thing. Go back to the other podcast. We did the same thing. The finger quotes in the air.
I'm calling him a draft guru with the quotes because is there really even such a thing?
No. Even the actual
the draft
like,
is a crapshoot.
Even like the actual ESPN draft gurus are
it takes
wrong
it takes
most of the time.
One,
so Jason's more than qualified.
One
to do this.
Choice.
Anybody is. That's
one team to trade or do something that nobody expects to throw out everything.
But Jason has a book.
But Jason's got a
which,
book.
Just like which could very well happen this year if Cleveland decides to be Cleveland and not make the obvious choice at one.
Yeah, they need to take Myles Garrett.
Yeah,
I agree with that. Hands down.
Yeah,
hands down, Myles Garrett.
There's reports of them with, half the people want Garrett, half the people want, either a quarterback, whether it be Watson or...
Mitchie Biscuits?
What did you call him?
Mitchie Biscuits.
Mitchie Trubisky.
His name is Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
And he comes out of...
North Carolina.
Which is I am a fan of.
Which is good because they didn't win the ACC.
No, they didn't.
Because a certain person on this podcast is a fan of another team who did win the ACC.
It's a great game. That was a great game. North Carolina really held their own, but Clemson
You want to know what else was a great game? 35-31.
Let's not talk about college football right now. I mean, we're talking about the draft here.
I am going to fit that.
Don't we have to talk about college football if we're talking about the draft?
Oh, no. They're professionals now. They are declared and they are out of college.
I am a Sabres fan. I am a Bills fan. I will fit in Clemson winning a championship every chance I have because it's the only team that has done it.
You got to get your plug in.
We talked about Arizona last year and you had to bring in Catanzaro because he went to Clemson.
Exactly.
Gotta get your plugs in.
Jason, so what are you doing with, if you're Cleveland, what are you doing with that pick?
You're looking at the top of the leaderboard. I mean, you can either say, hey, we can draft Myles Garrett, a defensive lineman who had an impressive college career. He's 6'4", 270. I mean, this guy's a beast. He ran a 4.64 40-yard dash. It's fast for a defensive lineman, right. And I believe the fastest ever next to Mario Williams. 3 years, 141 tackles, 47 for loss. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Not to mention 31 sacks. I mean, you're averaging 10.3 a year. He also had one interception and seven forced fumbles. Like I said, he's the obvious choice at number one, talent-wise.
Yep. I think he's the obvious choice because of who's picking at number one. Correct. I don't think he's the consensus number one for anybody who's picking number one.
Unless Cleveland pulls Cleveland and makes trades.
If you're Cleveland, you should definitely not trade this pick out.
No. And I don't think they need to make trades because they also hold, what, is it like 21st or 22nd pick this year too?
Correct.
So all these people that are like, oh, well, you know, do they take Garrett or do they take a quarterback?
And I believe that was from Philly last year. They traded for Carson Wentz.
Yeah. I think it's pretty obvious to everybody that you take Myles Garrett number one, and then between, you know, either Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Kizer, Trubisky, or Patrick Mahomes, one of those four is going to be there at 21 or 22. Take the quarterback then.
Trubisky's fallen.
I know it's really easy.
But I'm saying one of the four will be there. So
I know it's really easy to say, well, if a team's drafting number one, they're obviously not a very good team. But for Cleveland, who's not a team that's, oh, we lost our franchise quarterback or this and that. When you're 6, 7, 8 players away from being relevant, you have to take the best player in the draft.
Yes.
The Browns are actually 12th.
I was going to say, they're definitely higher than...
Is it 12?
Yeah, it's 12.
Oh, maybe I had it...
They got 12.
So maybe then you definitely get the best player.
Maybe that's why I had it reversed. I said 21st.
You take the most athletic player and someone that you need help with. Now, they don't need help defensively. Their defense was good last year.
Well, I mean, they need help. They need help everywhere.
They need help everywhere. You're talking about from quarterback to safety to punter to water boy.
It doesn't matter if it doesn't matter if the quarterback you draft is any good if you give up 40 points a game.
No.
Okay, now if you're Buffalo Bills head office, who do you draft in the first round?
Okay. You're looking at a Bills team who obviously has talent. You have a running back in LeSean McCoy. Shady had 1,200 yards. They're too inconsistent with their receiving core. Safeties were also a big misstep with Aaron Williams getting hurt last year, not knowing if he should retire or not. You got corners getting beat a lot. I mean, you had Stephon Gilmore, Ronald Darby. You should be covering over the top.
We lost Gilmore.
You lost Gilmore to the Patriots.
Yeah. But is that... Were our corners... Were they... Did they look better at times than they actually are?
Yes. Stephon Gilmore is an elite corner in this league. I just believe with the changes in the defensive schemes that Rex brought in Rob...
He got... But Rex's thing is his defense is hinging on shutdown corners.
Yes.
That's basically what runs his defense. And if you have two corners that can't be shutdown corners, the whole defense falls apart. So I'm saying, yeah, Gilmore looks good at times, but is he not an actual shutdown corner? Because if he was, have been a little bit better. I'm not saying the defense would have been good, but it would have potentially been a little bit better.
Yes.
But we had two corners that couldn't stop anybody. No. You have Gilmore who gives up and blames other people when he's at the 5-yard line.
Well, also, you don't have any help over the top, and you don't have safety help. And this is one thing that could go this way.
But elite corners don't turn around yelling for help like
that. No, you don't see Richard Sherman turning around yelling at Earl Thomas. No, or
you just see him.
I mean, you just see him leveling the receivers
before they get on their route.
Sherman yells at other people. He doesn't do it on the field.
Listen, he tries to be a leader and a crybaby,
and that's elite. Yes.
Gilmore was getting burned by Chris Hogan.
I would say when, but the problem that I had more than anything is that Hogan wasn't even in the end zone. He was on like the 3 yard line, and Gilmore was already turned around looking at other people, saying, "What did you just do?" No, so, you're the one that got burned.
It's like he's watching everybody else instead of the receiver across from him.
Right, but then turns around and blames everybody else for not doing their job.
A little aside here, Mike, you're welcome for the Bills becoming the Patriots farm team.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You get your guys are picking...
Hogan, Gillislee.
Gilmore. Just plucking our guys and plugging them into your system.
They're doing what they always do. They're taking people that looked good on other teams... that most teams would be like, eh, whatever. They're not really a name. They're not really a whatever. And they're going to go to New England. As much as Gilmore got burned, I would not be shocked if he had like 10 interceptions next year just because he's on New England.
Nobody would be complaining about Gillislee going anywhere if it wasn't New England.
Right. Same thing with Hogan.
Okay, so...
nobody would have cared.
So you're asking me... who should they pick? Now,
We're talking about the Bills still?
Yes.
Because you mentioned the Bills if you're going first overall.
Pick in the draft.
Oh, I thought you
they
said first overall.
They have the 10th pick in the draft.
Because if I was the Bills and I was picking first overall, I still probably take Myles Garrett.
But you're picking.
Yeah. Okay, so.
10th?
So yeah. Now you're looking.
So who are you picking?
You're looking or at. Position. I have two on each side, and I'll run through this really quick. I have two receivers. Obvious one of the choices is Mike Williams out of Clemson. 6'1".
6'1". Clemson from Clemson.
35-31 national Clemson. Champs.
6'1", ran a 4.49. You know, 3 years at Clemson, he played well. Very consistent receiver, boasting last year over 1,300 yards and 11 touchdowns. Another pick for me would be receiver Corey Davis out of Western Michigan. I like him. 6'2", 4.48, 1,500 yards last season, 19 touchdowns, averaged over 15 yards a catch. That's huge to stretch the field for Tyrod Taylor.
Yes. The only thing quickly before you wrap up what you think is a lot of things about Corey Davis, yes, he's a great receiver and all that, but he also played in the MAC.
Yes.
So
it's a weaker conference than
right, so yes, he got 19 touchdowns. Yes, that's impressive, but he also played in the MAC. So he didn't play against great talent. He didn't do that. So
that's true, but there have been guys that have come out of the MAC and
or worse conferences
made a big impact.
No, right. But I'm just saying, like it's not.
Look at Khalil Mack.
No, right. But all as I'm saying is you
Mack
can't
from the MAC.
You can't look at 19 touchdowns and say he's going to be a star in the NFL.
Yeah, but you have to watch. That's why you watch the tape too.
Okay, So now you talked about real quick. You talked about how. You know, they always got beat on corners with shutdowns. You can either go the cornerback route in Gary and Conley from Ohio State, a 6 foot corner who's compared to Aqib Talib with this physical stature, ran a 4.44. He's a big shutdown corner from Ohio State. Stepped up big time when Eli Apple was hurt. Before he came out of college.
Ohio State has, like, what, 3 cornerbacks that are going to be in
there? Crazy good.
Three first-round picks probably
crazy good.
At cornerback.
He's going to be the best defensive back you guys pick from Ohio State since Ashton Yabody.
Oh. last one I have is strong safety Jamal Adams from LSU.
So he's the other one.
3 years. Coming out as a junior. 6 foot safety. Definitely help over the top. Not the fastest guy, but still boasting a 4.5.
Okay, so you laid the framework, and that's fine.
Correct.
Position, who are you taking with the 10th pick?
I'm taking a receiver. Tyrod needs help.
Which one?
I agree.
I'm picking Corey Davis.
Corey Davis,
I feel, just all around better. Yeah, you have Mike Williams.
Do you feel like he's more prepared?
No.
But
can't compare preparation from a Western Michigan and a power team like Clemson. To prepare somebody for the NFL is what I'm talking about.
True.
You see a guy,
but
though.
Drafting a receiver at 10, you're going to want him to be ready and be the number two guy.
Right.
Potentially, with Watkins' injury history,
Well, why don't
doesn't Mike Williams well, yeah, have yeah. a foot injury issue?
Why don't since Jay just wrapped up and said who he's picking, Andrew, why don't you just take over and quickly say what you would do?
Hold on, really quick before he does that. Does Williams still have a foot issue? Because he just said
Williams has had issues with injuries. When he played for Clemson?
What's Clemson guys and foot issues?
I don't get lemons from Clemson.
I don't remember
Clemson
specifically, but I don't think it was a foot issue.
But he had injury issues.
What'd you just say?
I said you get lemons from Clemson, and I said Clemson.
Lemon.
Clemens.
That's why I see that. Only reason why I see Corey Davis going over Mike Williams is because of the fact that he's not injury prone. You have a guy that has tangibles that fast, that big,
Mike Williams' biggest injury was his neck injury that he suffered last season when he went headfirst into a wall. That kept him out last year. This year, I'm trying to remember if he missed time, and if so, how much and what the injury was, but it couldn't have been anything significant because I would remember it. But I don't think he has any, like, injury concerns going into the draft. Like, oh, this has been a nagging thing for him, so.
Okay. Well, let's go over to Andrew, see what he thinks.
It's tough, because if it falls to the position and there's a potential franchise QB there for years to come, you're dumb not to take that. Because quarterback is the most important position on the field, in my opinion.
Don't let me sway you.
I'm guessing by you guys shaking your heads, you guys disagree.
I think left guard is the most important position on the field.
But given the way the team is now, I would probably go receiver. And either Williams or Davis, doesn't matter to me.
So that's your pick. You're locked in.
You're picking a receiver. Just so you're a both receiver. Going
I'm picking a receiver because...
Best receiver.
You lost two receivers.
We don't, right. We lost
two
Woods.
Out of three receivers.
We lost... How who else did we lose?
We lost
Goodwin,
Robert Woods, Goodwin, and what's his face that went to Pittsburgh? He's number 17, the guy that caught all the touchdowns.
Hunter.
Yeah, Hunter.
Yeah, but you also gained Holmes from Oakland.
Right, true. But, yeah, but we don't have... We need that...
Andre.
He was a rare.
We need that second threat.
You need the explosiveness that Sammy Watkins can have.
Okay, so they want receivers.
They want receivers. Mike, right. you want to go now, Mike? Or
well, no. Hold on.
You're not done yet? Jesus.
Andrew edits. He can talk it up.
Explaining the reason for picking.
All right.
You didn't let me explain.
Give
me
a few more seconds. Go ahead.
With the way the offense is, we need that second threat receiver. Deep threat, whatever, over the middle. And it has to be somebody that, if Watkins goes down again with another injury, that can step in and be number one.
I was just going to say, because a lot
of drafting a good wide receiver at 10 gives us that second wide receiver, but also gives us the safety net for Tyrod if Watkins goes down.
Okay. I'm glad you said it that way, because apparently there's been reports of inside that the Bills believe that Andre Holmes is that perfect number two guy, but... Yeah, he's a good number two guy, but like you just said, if Sammy goes down, is he a number one? No.
Right.
He's a great slot guy. He proved it in Oakland.
Yep.
Great slot guy.
Yep.
Okay, Nick.
Which is also a position we were lacking for the last couple of years.
So, is it my turn now?
You can go.
All right. Before they signed Tyrod, I think it was a foregone conclusion quarterback was who they were going to pick. Deshaun Watson probably would have been that pick. But... I don't think it's not.
Clemson
it's
guy.
Not,
Clemson
it's not, I'm gonna go Clemson
lemons.
Anyway.
Lemons.
But signing Tyrod to me, I mean, there's still reports that people are saying, yeah, the Bills could take a quarterback. I think if your plan was to take a quarterback, you don't sign Tyrod like you did.
So like the last time when I bashed that for not
I would wait. Put it this way: I would be surprised if they took a quarterback because the way that they talk about Tyrod is they're still going to give him a little bit of time.
So you're saying that they would take a quarterback with their 10th overall pick?
If they didn't sign Tyrod.
And you're saying that could have been Deshaun Watson?
Either him or Trubisky or...
If they didn't sign.
If they didn't sign Tyrod.
I
don't know what quarterback they would have taken, but I'm saying if they didn't sign him, I think quarterback jumps to the top of your need.
I wouldn't be shocked to see them take quarterback at 10. I don't think they should.
I see them going quarterback second or third round.
Yes.
But if they pick...
That's where Deshaun Watson falls.
It's the way they treated the whole Tyrod contract.
Oh, I completely agree.
They basically waited out, and then signed him because, you know, oh, It's basically what we have left.
Right.
Like, they didn't act like they wanted him to be the quarterback.
All of that being said, I'm really torn between receiver and cornerback, because they did sign Micah Hyde, so that potentially will help us with the over the top lack that we didn't have last year. I'm not saying he's going to be great, but Jay, you mentioned a little bit ago that they didn't have any help over the top.
Isn't he a corner and free safety?
They said he's going to be safety.
Yes.
So,
but he can also he can play on that too.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be shocked to see them take one of, say, the cornerbacks from Ohio State. But I'm kind of with you guys. I think you have to go receiver. Because right now, like Andrew mentioned, if Sammy goes down, okay, you lost Woods, you lost Goodwin, you lost Hunter. Yeah, you picked up some other guys. But you're back into that, okay, if we lose our top guy, we have a whole bunch of glorified backups, which is essentially what the Bills have done with quarterback position for the last 12 years. So I think if you have the ability at 10, assuming other teams don't draft one, assuming other teams don't trade in, or top teams trade down for other teams that are looking for a receiver, I think you have to go Williams or Corey Davis. Personally, for me, I haven't seen a lot of footage of Davis, so I've seen highlights and I've seen things like that. I've never seen in-depth things. I've basically watched every game Mike Williams has played at Clemson. And to me, one of the biggest things the Bills have lacked is a throw it up and have him go get it receiver. And that's exactly what Mike Williams is. So if you want a guy that you get into the red zone that you can either throw a fade to, or if you have a guy that's sort of running, you know, single covered and all of that stuff, Mike Williams literally fits that bill perfectly. He can get a jump ball. He's still fast enough to open the field opposite Sammy. And like Andrew brought up, if Sammy goes down, I think Williams can slide in as a number one, and we're good. I mean, it would suck to see Sammy get hurt again, but the idea of pairing those two together on opposite sides of the field could finally actually give us two threats at receiver that teams would have to say, okay, how do we guard these guys?
Yes.
Right, but Tyrod's still got to get him the ball.
Correct.
Which falls back to the offensive line to an extent.
Mike's ears just perked up right there.
I think Mike's going to say quarterback.
I think maybe.
Kicker.
Ryan Mallett.
Second round like Tampa Bay. Wait for the other Aguayo to come out from...
Where did Aguayo go? Florida State?
Yeah. Yes. We don't have time. Sorry, my fault. We don't have time.
But isn't like his little brother or something in Florida? I think Aguayo's like little brother or something.
Yeah, he's better.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He played still never take a kicker in the second seasons. Round. I'm convinced.
Just in the fourth.
Sebastian Janikowski, Oakland.
I'm convinced Aguayo.
Maybe Nugent or something in the fourth round.
Aguayo played at Florida State for 12 years. I'm convinced.
Oh, yeah.
He never left.
Okay. I would have said quarterback all of last season. I was down on them re-signing Tyrod to that new restructured deal. I thought that was stupid. But what I would say is that everything that you guys have said has made a lot of sense. That being said, I wouldn't even take a receiver. You have the 10th pick in the draft, and yes, you lost all these receivers. At this point, I'm going with a corner. Find the best corner you could possibly get, because here's the thing. Just like picking a quarterback, what weapons do you have? You pick a receiver, Tyrod can make more than two progressions. He can't see the whole field. So what good is paying somebody all this money to run up and down the field, but he can't get you the ball? So Buffalo's identity, when they tried to find one, no matter who's been in here, has been running the football. So if you're going to be the best running team in the league, be the best damn running team in the league. And hold the ball so they can't have it. But when they do have it, they'll be going downfield, stretch, place, this and that. Now you have a corner that can actually shut somebody down. So that's why I would pick a corner. It's a defense-rich draft, sure, but I would still pick a corner. You can get a receiver in another round.
Yep. Well, that's why I said I'm right now, the way that free agency went, I'm really torn between wide receiver and cornerback, because that's the two areas that we need help with the most.
And you could say
we have Darby draft, right now, but that's one side of the field.
So you can get a second, but like I said, if Tyrod can't see the whole field, why are you putting more receivers out there? Just run the damn ball.
Right.
There you go.
See, but it's 2017. Ground and pound does not work in the NFL.
If you don't have defense.
Yeah, but the other question is,
you also have to have a running back to play ground and pound.
Who's our backup running back?
That's why I disagree when you said Gillespie leaving for anybody is fine as long as it's not.
That was your third down back.
I disagree completely. I think Gillespie has much more value to you guys than it has for us.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Probably, but not at that.
But I think what Andrew
not was... What was it, 2 years, six and a half or something like that?
But
something
all those players like, left, so you can't afford it now?
It was $4 million, I think, the first year.
The $4 million?
It's your third down back.
What if McCoy goes down? Gilson's not bad on any down.
They can replace him.
Jay, I just want
to
make
sure. Maybe not. Hold on. You said it was my turn. Hold on.
I don't know right this second.
Bill's fan here. Doesn't know.
More importantly, Jay just said that Gillisley is the third down back.
He's the third down back.
That was the world-famous Heisman Trophy winner Reggie Bush last year. He was our third down back.
How many positive yards did he have?
Yeah. Negative 2 yards.
First running back.
I'm not saying third down back last year.
Hands me, I'll sit down. I'm done.
A third down back going into this season. But you have McCoy, who can't play a ground and pound.
No, I agree.
He's a side-to-side runner.
Yep.
Which is why they don't want to be a ground and pound team anymore.
He has the size and the speed and the strength to be a ground and pound third down back.
This is a serious question. Who's the current backup running back for the Bills?
Williams, isn't it?
The guy that had all those fumbles? Last year?
You mean the young from Florida State?
Yes.
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 The young,
yes.
The young Williams.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Yes.
One of the like seven Williams we had at one point, but.
Yeah. Okay. I legitimately couldn't remember who the other one was. So.
I don't think for everybody that complains about the Bills running the ball too much and how it's not, you can't play that style of football and win. You need a quarterback. You need to stretch the field. You need to be able to put points on, which they did.
Right.
I'm not saying that they didn't do it, but they can't just be a strictly...
You got to put more toys in the cupboard before you draft a quarterback, though.
Right, but we can tie up that money somewhere else as opposed to putting so much into running backs.
$4 million.
Could get a real kicker, too.
So McCoy goes down.
Hey, Carpenter's gone.
Yeah.
We got Hauschka.
Hauschka.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hauschka. I missed that signing.
That was the best signing you guys have had.
That's a good signing.
Yeah.
That's a great signing.
Oh, yeah.
Micah Hyde was good, too.
Oh, yeah. Micah Hyde.
I don't know where people talked about Hauschka with kicking in a dome. Everybody said, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He had the luxury of kicking in a dome.
Right. Mike just threw a pen. Seattle.
We've hit that point where Mike is throwing
God
pens.
Thank God we're here, because if you go on just what other people say about dome stuff, you wouldn't know a damn thing. Who's, Seattle, right?
Yeah, Seattle. Yeah.
What dome?
Exactly.
It's wind.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's like the one place that could be windier than Buffalo.
It's Buffalo with more rain. That's what it is. Buffalo's a dry Seattle.
Have you ever thought about going into broadcasting, Jay?
No.
You're like really prepared.
Yeah.
We are very impressed with this.
He's got doctor's notes over there.
This interview for intern Jay is going pretty. Just so you know, anytime you're on, your
name
intern
is intern Jay.
Jay.
Intern Jay.
Intern Jay.
Tanner Kays. Intern Jay.
Yeah. Mike and Nick.
Yeah.
We don't have names yet.
My God.
You guys got to let that flow. It's got to...
Yeah, it's just...
It's got to happen organically. You got to screw up on your own.
You got to screw up on your own by calling Jonathan Tays, Tanner Kays for...
Okay. Like,
oh. A whole...
And that you bring that up. Second great segue.
You
bring up hockey. Why don't we talk about something going on currently, like the playoffs?
We could do that. Currently, we're almost into the second round now. We've had
Tanner Kays.
We've had all but two.
Hopefully, fingers crossed today.
Yes, we've had all but two rounds end. What do you guys? Quick picks for who do you think is going to win the whole thing?
Oh, geez, the whole thing.
The whole thing.
I thought we were going to say like what we thought so far.
I mean, you can go into that too, but just.
I feel
quick pick. What do you think?
Pittsburgh in the East, Nashville in the West.
Nashville.
They handled Chicago.
I was gonna say that's
they
that's,
handled that.
To me so far, that's the biggest surprise.
Listen, I understand Chicago. Now I'm not a big hockey talker, but I understand Chicago having all these young guys come up. They did well towards the last half of the season. You're not prepared to go into a playoff game with that many young guys. You have Pekka Rinne, who's a seasoned veteran, who showed Chicago, who's daddy in this situation?
And had more points than any Blackhawk player in that series.
I mean,
the goals were 13-3 in Nashville's favor.
But in Chicago's defense, the last couple years when they've won the Cup, they've done the exact same thing, basically. So they're...
Same thing as Nashville did, or Chicago was doing this round?
Letting guys go to bring in young guys.
Right.
But it doesn't work all the time.
Right, but I'm saying they don't have a history to say, okay, what we're doing is not working.
They've banked on,
three cups in the last six years, it's working.
They've banked on Kane and Taze.
Unlike you, who is Tanner Kays.
Yeah, notice I didn't screw it up that time. They've always banked on them score the goals, and they
just didn't. The Pittsburgh one, I don't see anybody really coming out as strong. Capitals are somewhat struggling with Toronto, which I could have seen Toronto kind of strong, but I don't see anybody giving Pittsburgh a run for their money. I don't.
So you got Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh and Nashville.
Nashville, and who's winning out of those?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh again.
Pittsburgh strong. Pittsburgh strong. I hate Pittsburgh. I hate Crosby, but
looking at the East, as much as I hate to, you can't bet against Pittsburgh right now. They're too good. They're too stacked. And I mean, it's unfortunate with the way the NHL seeds their playoffs that a team like Columbus, with the year that they had, went into a buzzsaw like Pittsburgh in the first round.
You have the second and third best teams in the East playing in the first round.
Yeah, that's garbage. That's my plug to go back to the 1-8.
Absolute garbage.
Well, but it also confirms, I would think, too, that Columbus isn't one of the top three teams in the East. If you go out and get handled like that.
Yeah, but they got handled by Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Arguably the best team in the East.
You're supposed to be prepared going to the playoffs.
I don't want CD as a damn excuse.
Right, but I think to Andrew's point, he's just saying that it's...
So you want them babied into the Eastern Conference Finals and then get trucked by Pittsburgh?
Well, I mean, I think what we're probably all going to agree on is that anybody's going to get trucked by Pittsburgh.
So it's kind of irrelevant. So it's a moo point.
Ooh, Andrew says wrong. Oh. Andrew says wrong, and here we go.
My West pick I have is St. Louis.
Okay.
And I have them, I think they're going to win the whole thing.
The Blues. That'd be sick.
Jake Allen is just too good right now.
You're saying better than Pekka right now. Yeah, they swept, St. Louis swept Minnesota, but no, Minnesota always flops in the playoffs, just like Washington in the East. Always. You have players complaining in Minnesota. 5 years
they've been knocked
out
the first.
You have players in Minnesota who are complaining that they're tired of going through this in the playoffs. They have the talent, but now you're saying that Jake Allen is a better goaltender than Pekka Rinne right now.
I didn't say he's a better goaltender
at all. Nashville.
I said he's going to play better in the long run.
I don't see it.
For the rest of this playoffs.
I don't see it, but hey, we all have our own opinions.
Yeah,
we do.
I mean, Nashville handled Chicago. So yeah, and St. Louis handled Minnesota. Oh my God.
Minnesota was also the best team in the NHL for a good chunk of the season.
Yeah.
Then what happened though? I mean, it's
they struggled.
They did the same thing Chicago did. Yeah.
My only point
is the first round flopped.
It's not like handling Minnesota was like whatever. Like you handled one of the best teams in the league.
I feel like
so it has to say something to St. Louis.
Handling Minnesota is as impressive as Nashville handling Chicago.
It depends on the way you look at it.
Okay.
Handling notwithstanding, I actually had a question for Nick that was a comparison.
Ooh, go ahead.
Just watching Minnesota play. This was the regular season the last few years and then the playoffs. I would think they're like the Western Conference version of the Washington Capitals. How off am I?
So, Minnesota being the current Western version of the Washington Capitals.
Just some recent history.
Who are the Eastern version of the former San Jose Sharks? Because San Jose was the same way. They were always phenomenal in the regular season. They'd get to the playoffs and they'd fall apart. Washington's done the same thing. Minnesota has, you know, the last 2 seasons, I think. And I don't know. I just feel like it's Bruce Boudreau. I mean, the guy can't, for whatever reason, he can put a great team together in the regular season,
right,
and he cannot coach the playoffs to save his life. So Andrew, you picked St. Louis.
You got
St. Louis over Pittsburgh.
St. Louis over Pittsburgh in finals.
Refresh me real quick.
I have Pittsburgh and Nashville, and I picked Pittsburgh.
Yep. St. Louis and Pittsburgh. St. Louis.
Is that a hard pick or a head pick? If your head's picking against Pittsburgh, I don't know where your head's at.
Andrew still hates Crosby,
like,
and
Pittsburgh.
Nobody knows why.
I understand that.
Like, he can't accept how great Crosby actually is still.
Really?
I have. No, have I don't. I'm not disputing the fact that he's great. I never have.
Yeah, you absolutely have. I've known you my whole life. You have always disputed that.
I've never disputed that he's great. I've disputed that...
I think old
the recognition he's deserved. Anyway,
this have a separate podcast. We should call people out.
This is another half-hour conversation.
We'll just do call-outs for a podcast. Just do call-outs.
Right, Nick, who do you got?
I think Mike was starting to go, Mike? So I'll let
I like
him
St.
Go.
Louis in the West. Because I had a tough time between St. Louis and San Jose, but San Jose gives me no reason to believe that they can make the Stanley Cup Finals.
And they just lost last night, so
yeah,
they're eliminated.
Edmonton, Edmonton got rid of them.
It's a good
idea. Yeah, it's pretty really easy idea. Fashion.
It's a really but good idea not two. To pick San Jose right. right now.
So by default, I so pick you go, St. Louis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And in the East, I don't think there's anybody you can really pick besides Pittsburgh.
No.
Maybe if Toronto had this team for a few years, I could say maybe, but Pittsburgh's the only team I can really think of. And I think Pittsburgh wins the Stanley Cup. Which I don't want to say that, like, he doesn't want to say. I just think eventually somebody's going to start scoring on Jake Allen, and it's going to be Sidney Crosby.
And I think eventually somebody's going to beat Pittsburgh.
Oh, I hope so.
But,
I didn't.
And I say the only thing that Pittsburgh has to wonder is how long is Murray going to be out?
Right.
And does Fleury turn into...
Fleury?
Most recent postseason Fleury or prime playoff
I think whoever wins, if it's Pittsburgh-St. Louis, it's going to be who rode the hot goaltender.
Yeah.
Who stayed hot.
True.
And honestly, right now that is Jake Allen. Comparing Allen and Fleury.
Right.
If I had to pick, I would probably say St. Louis. I don't see I think Edmonton's going to eventually run out of steam. We could very well be wrong.
Because they got Anaheim coming off.
Because they're so young. I think Anaheim is going to be good, but they're another team that, I mean, Anaheim can struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, St. Louis and Nashville are the same thing. Like, yeah.
Louis.
Louis.
Your name's not Louis.
I want to see both those teams succeed, but one of them has to lose. So I think St. Louis is built more right now because they've been St. Louis over the last, like, I don't know, what is it, 3 or 4 years? It seems like every year they get one round further. And last year they lost in the conference finals to San Jose, I believe. So I think they're finally primed and ready to go to actually make a good run at it.
Tarasenko hitting the stride.
Tarasenko's playing great. I mean,
they're not goal wise, but
for a while with Allen. And I mean, the East is tough for me. I don't think Ottawa can do it. I really don't want to see Toronto or Boston go anywhere longer than the games that they have tonight. So it basically is a, do you think Washington or do you think Pittsburgh takes it for me? And I would love to see St. Louis, Washington in the finals. And I would love to say that's what I think is going to happen. But like the three of you have already said, I mean, Pittsburgh just seems like they're that well-oiled machine. That's just sort of just going to, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked to see them roll through everybody. And it's unfortunate to say that because I'm not a huge fan of the same teams being there all the time. But they're just too good right now. So I think, like Mike and Andrew, you both said St. Louis, Pittsburgh in the finals. I would love to say St. Louis takes it. But experience for Pittsburgh, I think, is what might push them over the edge. I mean, there's... I don't know how you want to say it, but when it comes to the playoffs, I don't know if there's a better overall leader than Crosby between what he can do skill-wise and... the experience he has and all that kind of stuff. And Pittsburgh has been there for years and years and years. So it's not like, you know, Jake Allen, yeah, he's playing great right now, but he's 26 years old. You take a 26-year-old guy and put him in the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time, what does he do?
Right.
We've seen certain people take it and run with it and roll, and we've seen other young, really good players completely fold. And, you know, despite whatever he does, Pittsburgh wouldn't go into the finals thinking, oh crap, we're in the finals. What do we do? They're thinking, we're where we're supposed to be, so let's keep moving.
Would your pick for the final change depending on which Pittsburgh goaltender played?
Honestly, if it was Murray in net, I would probably give them more of a nod than
so
if it was Fleury.
So would I.
But that being said, if it is Fleury, I think their skill and experience still will probably...
Yeah, if it's a longer series, you think that benefits Pittsburgh?
Honestly, a longer series would probably benefit St. Louis because it would give them the
time to put their feet
okay. Down. It's okay. We're here. Yeah, we're nervous, but we're keeping right up with Pittsburgh, and we're just as good as they are.
Okay.
All right. One last thing, you guys. I mean, you mentioned Toronto and Edmonton there.
Oh,
and
boy, here we go.
Mention our Sabres really quick.
Do we have to?
It'll just be real short.
Like our season next year.
Hey, we'll get to play 82 games.
That's the lockout. That's what we need a lockout.
The moves they made, firing Murray and Bylsma, predictable. Well, Bylsma at least. Murray I was kind of shocked on. I think he deserved at least another year to fix the defense and try to build something. It's more I think seeing Toronto and Edmonton in the playoffs right now, where we are supposed to be,
drives me nuts.
Because we basically went through the same, almost the same time frame with the rebuild. Edmonton was terrible for many years longer, but with Toronto specifically, we've hit the same time frame.
Edmonton had like 46 first overall picks too,
right?
So
out of 47 years,
that's right.
But you also have Taylor Hall on another team now. Yakupov on another team. They don't keep their overalls.
That trade actually. Right. Edmonton benefited from Hall getting Larson in?
Yes.
At the time, everyone saw it and went, like, what are you doing? But Larson's been one of their stud defensemen
Well, because they did the smart thing. They said, okay, we have an abundance of offense talent. We just got Connor McDavid, who is the MVP. Okay, now we need to fix our defense.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I mean,
you take one of those top picks and you go get a top defenseman.
But, I mean, you're talking about the Sabres here, and you obviously have talent on that team with the young Jack Eichel, who bettered his point total in 21 less games.
Yep. Yes.
You have Evander Kane, who is a good...
Plus, Eichel is a top 10 point per game player in the NHL at 20 years old.
And you have Evander Kane, who is a goal scorer. Ryan O'Reilly, you have great leadership. But the one main thing, this is what I'm going to say on this subject, because it's been the topic of conversation for the past week. You can't win and rebuild by keep getting rid of guys in the front office. Right. You're going to have players come in. Oh my God, is this coach not going to like me? Or is this GM not going to like me? Am I going to meet up their expectations? Am I on the line?
I think that goes, not to cut you off, I'll let you finish. That goes the other way too. If the GM comes in or coach comes in, are the players going to overthrow?
Correct. With this whole Eichel said this and Eichel said that, which, you know, both denied by the agent and Eichel.
It didn't happen.
But... say in the world it was true, you're going to have a GM and you're going to have a coach come in, and they're going to be shaking in their boots saying, okay, we have a guy, face of a franchise in Jack Eichel, who can oust us any minute.
Sort of like a what if he doesn't like me situation.
And that's all I have to say.
I disagree. That's going to put, if that was true, which it's not, I don't see Eichel as the type of player that would walk in and get his coach fired. The same thing that happened with Biles Mahir happened in Pittsburgh, where he lost the team, he lost the players. They didn't listen to him, they didn't coach, they didn't like his system anymore. Be it if Crosby got him fired, whatever. They're doing fine now. To me, a coach and a GM are so much more easy to replace than a franchise cornerstone stud player like Eichel. And if he actually walked into that office and said, I'm not going to play here if that coach is here... Fine. I don't care. Bye. See ya.
Bye, Biles.
Whatever. It doesn't matter what coaching system is brought in. I mean, yeah, there are different coaching systems in the NHL. Some work, some don't. But when you have the GM come out and say, we want to be a north-south, fast, puck possession,
play for speed,
breakout style game, and you have a coach on that same team that's coaching bottle up in the neutral zone, chip and chase, hard into the corners... and he makes coaching decisions like putting Jack Eichel with a guy like Nick Deslauriers, no offense to him, but his talent level is not up to par.
Right.
You look at McDavid and Draisaitl, what they did all year. They never, I'm not sure because I haven't followed them all year, but I don't think they separated them all.
They never did. They have the highest point total for a pair in the NHL.
McDavid hit 100 points, and it's no surprise that Draisaitl was also in the top 10.
He had what?
He wrote his coattail.
77. Yeah.
Draisaitl wrote his coattail.
We were actually watching the Edmonton game last night, and they were talking about Draisaitl. Just real quick, Draisaitl, and you know, he had, I think they said 77 points, and they're like, "Oh my God, look, what a young guy! He gets 77 points in one of his first couple seasons." Blah blah blah. You played on a line with a guy that had 100 points.
Yes. Yeah.
There's, like I told Andrew last night, I said, when they're on the ice together, there's three other people that could get a point. When McDavid gets one of his 100, there's a good chance Draisaitl gets one of those two assists or one of the goals out of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, is it impressive he got 77? Absolutely, for a young player. But you have to look at it is that he just played with a guy that had 100 points. He's going to get – look at Panarin when Kane had all those points last year.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the same thing.
I prefer to give a little bit more credit to a guy like that because – it almost sounds like, not that you're fully going that way, but you're basically saying he's sponging off of McDavid.
No, I'm not saying that he's sponging off of him. I'm just saying...
well, he has to have the talent to keep up.
Yes, true. He has to have the talent to keep up.
But if you're not good enough on your own, it's not going to matter.
He is good enough on his own. All I'm saying is that don't look at his 77 points like he did it on his own with nobody. I mean, he had the fortunate combination to be with a guy who put up 100 points. So if you have a guy on your line with 100 points, you're bound to get right. a lot of them.
I thought you said, Jason, I thought you said you weren't a hockey talker. But you knew that stat.
Yeah, he's got a little.
Yeah, I got written down.
No, it's not actually.
It's not written down. That's why I called him out.
I got draft right stuff about the NFL, and that's about it.
He's got a little bits of knowledge.
All right, so before I get roundabout way,
did you give your opinion real quick before we get off?
Not yet, but I'm
okay.
Oh, are you not done yet?
No, I'm.
He's gonna add like 45 minutes of this.
Just bring it all together. I mean, Edmonton, Toronto had their guys that were there before the rebuild step up, fill in. I think if we had a different coach, if we had Babcock, we're in a totally different story right now. Yeah, Murray didn't. He got rid of some guys that we should have probably kept, but he also brought in guys that we had no chance of without getting rid of those. It's up in the air. I personally didn't like seeing him get fired, like I said, but it all makes sense. And so hopefully they bring in somebody who makes better coaching decisions, wants to play a faster game, and will let the players play to their skill as opposed to fitting them into a system.
Yeah, so I will make my opinion because you guys covered a good chunk of it. Murray getting fired. I sat there and I watched Pegula talk, and he mentioned discipline, structure, and communication probably 12 times. And he didn't say it was a coaching thing. He said it was an organization thing. And if that was really what the problem was, I'm okay with Murray being gone. Because if your GM doesn't put structure and discipline into place for his staff, all the way from players to all the other coaches, then you have to let him go. Because if you don't, that system and that inability to have, okay, this is your job, this is what you do, it's never going to change. So, I didn't like to see him go, but I understand if that's really the reason why. Bylsma, I think absolutely deserved to go, like you said. We have the roster to be a north-south fast team. He wanted to bottle up the middle. Having quickly a 2 or 3 goal lead in 7 games in a season, and we managed to lose those 7, for me, that was the nail in the coffin for him, because I don't think there's any excuse to be up 3 goals in a game and lose it. And lastly, I don't know where they go. I don't know where they go from here with GM coach, with the expansion draft and the actual draft and free agency and all that coming up. If they don't have those guys by those things, I don't know what they do. But I do agree, the one point you made that I was actually going to bring up on my own is, if they would have hired Babcock as the coach, they're in the playoffs right now. Because Babcock is the type of coach that we needed, and we didn't get him, so we have to see what we can do.
So taking away the organizational comments that you made, and like I said, we're just fans. We don't know what goes on inside the buildings and this and that. But my thing is, you want to build a fast North and South team. You have a GM who wants to do that. You have a coach who, he never lost his players. He never had his players. Yeah. I don't think he abandoned his players, just like in Pittsburgh, abandoned him here. But if you're going to bring in a coach, or sorry, if you're going to bring in a GM who fits that North-South mold or whatever, why get rid of Tim Murray?
Well, that's what we're saying. It's a shock. But like you said, we don't know what happened in the inside.
Whether
so
it's,
maybe...
Right, but this always happens. Whether it's the Bills, whether it's the Sabres, it's a Buffalo thing. But I'm not a Bills fan, but I can see it. And honestly, if you're asking the opinion, it kind of pisses me off. Because you tell the fan base, every time somebody comes in, oh, we're going to build a championship team. We're going to build this. We're going to build that. That doesn't happen overnight. You need 2, 3, 4, 5 years to even get it.
Absolutely.
But what good is a 4-year plan if 2 years in, you scrap the plan and start over again?
Yeah.
That's why we never get anywhere.
Right. So I think, I think we all agree. Murray being gone was a pretty big shock, because he had 3 seasons and he fixed, I wouldn't say he fixed them, but comparing our offense now, I mean, we had the number one power play in the league. So compare that to what we were before Murray got here.
I would have done the same thing, like similar to what I said about Tyrod Taylor. You gave him all that money or that the restructure, however it happened, he shouldn't have gotten any new deal. Same thing for Murray. You should have given him the offseason, and if he couldn't bring in players, because he said he's going to build a good team with defense also, and if he couldn't bring in any defensemen, can him on the spot. But it's like you said it's so easy to replace a coach and a GM, so why can't you just fire him in August or September?
I think that was one of Murray's issues, is that he didn't get rid of Bylsma halfway through the season or three-quarters of the way through the season.
Right.
When it really looked like, okay, the coach and the players aren't matching. Like, Murray, if he would have done that, maybe he still has his job in Buffalo.
Yeah, I think honestly that Bylsma was brought in more so as a consolation prize, because we lost out on Babcock, and they couldn't go out and hire some guy from college, the college ranks or something, and it would, if they did that, it would be looked at as a typical retread Buffalo move. Like, they had to get a big name guy.
It's so funny. Yeah. In a blue-collar city, you need a sexy name.
Right, yeah.
But
Rex Ryan.
Sexy Rexy.
My very last point is everybody looked at Bielsma and his track record and said, wow, look at the name we got, look at his history, yada, yada, yada. People seem to forget that he was in Pittsburgh when Fleury was in his prime, when Crosby was there, when Letang was in his prime. Like,
ten coaches could have probably done the same thing.
He may have had the same flaws that he has now, but the team that they had completely covered all those flaws because, yeah, they may have defensively been terrible, but you had Crosby putting up 110 points a season.
Let players play.
Right, which is what the new coach needs to do.
Structure, discipline, communication.
Let the play go.
Pegula.
Reinhardt, Eichel, Kane, Nylander, insert whoever there. Leave them as a line together. Leave them there all year. Let them learn, make their mistakes.
Yep.
Let them get the chemistry so that they don't have to look for the other players. Let them know
Oposo and O'Reilly.
Yeah, let them
put those two guys together.
Play
them
together to the point where they know the guy's going to be there. Doesn't have to look. Doesn't have to do anything. You know, we went this whole podcast. We didn't even mention anything about Rex Ryan getting fired.
Yeah, we can wait on that.
Well, no, like that. Like a whole topic conversation about it. Like,
oh, because
we can cover sexy Rexy in another time.
Yeah, we'll have to cover that another time.
He's not going anywhere. He's on TV, isn't he?
We're over where we should have been.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're gonna try to get back into getting this as a more frequent thing. Hopefully, Intern Jay is here for a while.
He'll come in here and there.
Yeah.
What are your strong suits? Football. What other sport? Baseball.
I mean,
you have a Lakers
baseball
hat on, so do you?
I like basketball.
Basketball second.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, there's a basketball playoffs are going on. Maybe we could bring you back and talk some basketball.
Yeah.
I know Andrew likes to talk about basketball.
Oh, yeah, it's great. We'll try to get this more as a more frequent thing, so we won't be 6 months until the next one.
Maybe we'll cut it down to three.
Hopefully
we'll do 3 months.
Yeah, three, maybe. Two and a half.
All right.
I could do it.
All right.
By the end of the playoffs, the NHL playoffs, we'll have
something for it. We'll do a recap of our review of our preview.
Well. All right, so if you guys want, thanks for listening to us.
If you're still here by now, thank
you. If you're still, if you've listened to this whole hour and 22 minutes that we've been rambling on, give us follow on all of our social media accounts.
Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Yep.
I think we have
Second Line Sports has all those.
Is that
secondlinesports.weebly.com is our website.
We have a website.
Facebook is Second Line Sports. Twitter is Second Line Sports, but it's the 2ND Line Sports because we couldn't fit all the letters in that we wanted to.
Second Line Sports.
Right.
And then the actual URL is secondlinesports.weebly.com, like Andrew mentioned. So.
Yep. Yeah, give us a follow on all those. We'll keep you up to date with as much of the sports world as we can. Thanks for listening. And got myself, Tanner, and Nick, Mike, and Intern Jay here. And
Intern Jay, I love it.
It's great.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem, yeah. Well, come back anytime.
You can come back next time if you bring donuts.
Donuts? Yeah, there you go. Donuts and coffee. Intern Jay on the coffee and donut run. All right, thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.
All right, see you.
Bye.